Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us this morning. And it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, as they can say. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. All right, all right. I decided I would just play that on that. I was sending a message out so that people on Facebook could listen in. It's a good day. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. Oh, goodness, I'm not going to say it. I made a promise to myself. I was not going to say time is moving fast. I'm stopping it. We get what we say. So the Holy Spirit just remind me, you say the time's moving fast, then it's going to move fast. And I rebuked that yesterday. I said, a time is moving according to the will of God. There's no such thing as a time moving fast. That's a state of mind. That's something that we create. Don't receive it. I don't remember if we're calling it in the Bible. But it's something that we say. Oh, man, isn't the time just flying by? Well, you know, hey, we get what we say. He tells us that. As a man thinketh, so is he. So then if you're feeling that your time is rushing by, because you're creating that environment, you're creating that state of mind, the elements are going to follow your command. So I said, thank you, Holy Ghost, for sharing that with me. And I'm going to get into the state and the flow that God created. It's moving according to the will of God. That's just my little personal thing that I want to share with you this morning. Of course, everybody's in control of their own destiny. You can move as fast as you want to, or you can roll with the will of God, and you'll have the time to do what you need to do. I thought I'd share that because I know I say it a lot. And I told the Holy Spirit, when you check me, I'm checked. So that made me feel a lot better because, I mean, what does it mean? I mean, you know, what does it mean? Everything is set. 365 days, 24 hours a day, and it's how you create your intro conversations and your energy is how you spend that time, how you enjoy that time. Or you just want to just say it's fast, and it will seem fast, and it will be fast because we have the power and authority to create our own little world within this world. You decide. You choose. All righty. Just a touch this morning. Let me go to the switchboard. Good morning, Cynthia, our co-host.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am wonderful. Yes, Lord.
Well, good job. Well, I do like your little sentiment this morning because time is only moving accordingly, like you said, and about learning to stay in the moment of the flow of what it is. You know, I like that. I like that. And like you said, when the Holy Spirit checked me, I'm checked. So I like that. So how is the weather there in North Carolina?
The weather's great. Sun's out.
Good.
I haven't been out this morning, of course, but I could tell I got old windows here. So when the sun comes up, it beams in, and you know, it just flows into the unit. Just absolutely, I could tell it's a great day. So I'll be out in a minute, running around. Can you give us the prayer this morning? Oh, first of all, audience, Deborah's on with us, but Deborah's not speaking today. She's a little scratchy, she said, on her throat. And so, hello, Deborah. We know you're there.
Hey, girl.
You got your one up like you want to talk, but I know you already told me, so I'm not going to click it. Because I didn't know she changed her mind or not, you know what I'm saying? Okay, but if you do, just text me. All right, can you give us a prayer, Cynthia, please?
Absolutely. Dear Father, we come before you. I'm going to let you know how. Thank you for this moment, this time, and this time of year. It's my favorite time of year. I love the holidays. I love the fact that we're giving homage to our Lord and Savior, for it is in this season that he was born in a manger, and he came to dwell among us as man, to show us how to do this thing called life. He was the perfect example. So I'm always pleased this time of year, not only because of the festivities and the decorations, but I know that, and I've come to believe that it's about the birth of Christ. And so it's my favorite time of year. And I just thank you, Father God, for your mercies and your grace, Father God, because so many didn't make it. And we're so close, so many still won't make it to see Christmas morning. And so, Father God, I come asking you, Father God, that those who have lost loved ones this year and the past years, that they will trust you and for their joy in this time of year. Don't be sad, but just be grateful for the time that you had with your loved ones and in her or his remembrance. Be joyous and just think about the time that you had, and even if the times that you didn't have, just repent and just find that memory somewhere that you can hold on to, that you can be joyous, because Jesus' birth is a perfect gift. And accepting him as Lord and Savior is a perfect gift. And so, Father God, I just thank you for this radio show. I thank you for our leader, Dr. Fletcher, and all that she does and all that she continues to do in the name of Christ. For this ministry is Christ's ministry and not hers and nor mine, but his. And we thank you that you've chosen us to do such an important task, teaching people the word and teaching people to be able to stand on the word of God. And so with that, I say, we love you this morning, Father God. We thank you for your mercies. Every day that you allow us is a new day of mercies. We don't know what's going to happen before the day is over, but we thank you for right now in this moment. We thank you, Father God, that we have enough understanding that we know to come to you with everything in prayer. And so, Father God, with that, I say thank you and amen.
All right. Thank you and amen. That's it right there. Yeah, it's this time of the year that, you know, people, they can go from one extreme to the other. And it depends on what state of mind that they're in. So, but I'm like you. Let's look at the joy. You know, there's the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit that all of them should show up every day, but especially during the holidays. Try to find that joy. Like you say, find something. I know if you knew a person, you saw something good in them. It had to be something.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
amen. Yeah.
With a smile. You know what I mean? You saw something in them that was good. Because there's good in everybody, and just really think about that. Because you know, sometimes you might say, well, you know, that John, he was something else, man. You couldn't hardly stand him, but boy, didn't he have a beautiful smile? When he smiled, it's just like
absolutely.
The world lit up. He had what I call the $1 million smile, you know. And so there you go. Hold on to John's $1 million smile. That's all that you
Amen.
Need, because that was the thing that touched your heart and your spirit, and that's the thing that lit you up. You received
Amen.
Something, because when there's a young lady that a member of my son-in-law's family, his first cousin's daughter. Yeah, his first cousin's daughter. And I tell you, that little girl from a little thing, when she smiles, your whole body smiles when she looks at you with that smile. It's just like, I said, girl, you got the $1 million smile. And she told me last week, she's turned 21. I can't believe it. And I said, you still got that smile. You're supposed to be someplace with that smile, because when she puts it on you, it's just like you could feel the spirit of God that just beams out of her. And I'm thinking, wow, what, God's got something miraculous for you to do. I've said that from the time she was a little girl, and she still has it. I call it the $1 million smile. So, you know, we can't judge people. Well, we can, but we shouldn't, because, you know, you judge me, then you're just setting yourself up to be judged by the Father. Whatever you judge me on, oh, you're going to get judged, because you can't judge me if you don't know about it. See, we the things that we've already known or despised is something that we know and have done, most cases. And so, you know, you judging people, it's going to come right back to you. But this is a time that, and it's so amazing when you were praying, I said, Lord, look at you. It always comes together as far as our topic is concerned. And I'm just going to leave the mic open, and we're going to go back and forth this morning, I think. The topic this morning is depression of the holidays for some mothers and daughters. And out of that topic, you know, laying in the bed, and I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, what are we talking about? And he was talking about how mothers and daughters and people in general, because I want to make this broad, because I was on a radio show and I was talking to a gentleman, and him and his father hadn't spoken in 5 years, and he was regretting the holiday season. Even though he hadn't spoken to his father, he missed his father, and the holiday season seemed to bring in that, you know what I mean, that mourning and that love. And you can run all year long, but when it comes to Mother's Day, it comes to Easter, it comes to Thanksgiving and Christmas, those are four holidays that people long for their loved ones. Go ahead, you were going to say something?
No, it's just real. I mean, you have more anxiety, more suicide attempts during the holiday season than the entire year. And so it's a season of joy, but because the joy has been stolen by the enemy, that you get into despair. We don't not only get in despair because of relationship issues, we get in despair because of lack of finances to go and buy a whole bunch of stuff. It's a whole lot going on in this season, and the enemy don't want you to be joyous. But you do notice that this is also the time of year where people are nicer to each other. It's just an automatic thing that people are nicer. And just think if we can just be nicer. And I said this earlier, this part of the week when you and I was talking, we can't get past, we can't get to the love because we can't even find the light for the person,
mm-hmm.
our mothers,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and all of that brings on a sense of sadness and depression when you can't love somebody.
And another thing too,
because
you know,
what you think they have done or didn't do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But another thing is that when, you know, being a Christian clinical psychologist myself, I deal with people with depression. And it comes from that known fact of anxiety from the intro conversations. Now, when you have intro conversations in your, that's the ongoing conversations in your head, and you just talking yourself up, and you just talking, you're having a conversation. Now, it takes two people to have a conversation. And when you have a conversation, who are you having a conversation with within your intro conversation? You're either having a conversation with God or you're having a conversation with the enemy, because it's a private, intimate conversation from within your soul. The devil, his job is to infiltrate into that conversation. And he wants you to think that you really talking and believing and doing and saying these things of your own account, but it's really him in putting those thoughts into your head, because he's constantly whispering in your ear, well, you know, you should have done this, or you should have said that, or they don't care about you. They don't want you to come to Thanksgiving dinner. But you know, last year, I'm going to put you on mute, Cynthia. You know, last year, let me get my thought together. You know, last year, they didn't want you to come to Thanksgiving dinner. And then when you was there, they didn't treat you that good. You know, did you hear them? It seemed like they was talking about you. So why would you want to go this year? See, do you know that they were talking about you? Are you sure they were talking about you? Was they saying something bad about you? Or were they just having a conversation and you just heard your name mentioned? See, the enemy wants to break you down, because he knows this time of year, like Cynthia said earlier, people try to be nicer. I don't know what it is. They get so hypocritical. I think that's the word, that you pretend to be nicer during the holidays. You buy people gifts when you talk about them all year long, and you don't really like them, but you know, you just buy them a gift. Your mother-in-law, I'll use the mother-in-law thing. Most people, they'll talk about their mother-in-law like a dog, and I come busting in there on Christmas with this present for the mother-in-law. They may not buy them the same as they buy their mother, but they'll buy something to put in their hand. Why even buy something? The Judith gift, with the Judith kiss of death, knowing that you really don't like the person. You know, you know, God sees these things. That's why we have to understand that whatever you do, God is just looking at you. He hears you. His mic is on 24/7. His eyes see you as if you're the only person on this planet Earth. You don't have to go to and fro like Satan. Satan got to go to and fro looking and seeing who he can devour and what are they doing here and what are they doing there, and got his little cronies. Well, go on over there to Cynthia's house. Now, why the other one go to Deborah's house? And now don't forget Dr. Bessie's house. And while you're there, go get the children too. You know, see, that's his form. God can look straight down and see through Jesus every last one of us at one given time as if we're just one person. So there's nothing that you can do or say that he doesn't know about. So then, you know, it's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, yesterday, the Holy Spirit brought that back up to me. You know, I always say some of them, but never really repeat. You know, you say them at different times. You say all of them, but at this particular time, he wanted me to just go through all 9 of them. And as I was going through, one was that I really don't say a lot. It's self-control. You know, we'll say the fruit of joy, peace, happiness, gratefulness, you know, goodness. We know those. Kindness. But most times people don't say self-control. And out of that self-control comes a powerful, powerful moment in your life. That if you can deal with the fruit of the spirits, which is they come directly from the spirit of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Then you're going to be able to treat people right. You're going to be able to treat people right. You know, when you're connected to someone that is connected to the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit showed me. You'll know me when you see me, Bessie. You'll know me when you meet me in another body. Because that person will demonstrate faithfulness, forgiveness, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, self-control. See, you have all those things. They'll show up in the person. And when you see those things in a person, you know, that's the Holy Ghost. And that's what he told me. And I'm thinking, wow, this is so powerful. I mean, the connection, you won't feel maybe what I felt when he told me, but you should feel something just by hearing that if you didn't know it. I didn't connect it that way. He said, when you see that in an individual, that's me. I live in that body. You can recognize me inside that body. I was like, how powerful. I was like, all right. So no matter where you are, because I remember, and I'm going to say this, I'm just going to say it. You know, one time I was saying to the Holy Spirit, this was years ago, and I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, you know, I said, Holy Spirit, if I get married again, I want to marry the spirit of the person. I want to marry the spirit of the person. I didn't know what I was saying to the fullest, not until yesterday. And I said this a couple years ago. I said, I want to marry the spirit of a person. I just knew, of course, you want someone that's attractive, someone that's got features that you like, you know, because that's all we know on the outside. But when the Holy Spirit broke that down to me yesterday, he was like, that's all you need to know about anybody. Anybody that you meet. But if you're looking for a mate, mothers and daughters out there, you say, what has this got to do with depression? I'm going to tell you, because it's going to come back around. All you got to do is check off the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And that will identify. Because those, if you go and check, it says those are the fruits of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. So if those fruits of the Spirit show up, you know the Holy Ghost lives within that person. Because that's another thing that people come up with. They get depressed during the holiday season when they don't have a mate, when they just feel like, I'm going to the dinner party again, and I'm by myself. And Mary, every time she comes, she's got a different man. How she gets so many men? I can't get nobody. I don't know. I'm just going to stay home. We can come up with all kinds of excuses. We can talk ourselves in and out of all kinds of situations. But if you're not careful with depression, depression will take you under. It will take you to a place sometimes that you can't even come back. And if you did come back or do come back, you're not quite the same. Because you have allowed yourself to go so far in your emotions. And your emotions are characterized by your interconversation. And then they're followed by nervous behaviors. And then a person gets overwhelmed. And when you get overwhelmed and the conversations are going and your behavior is different and you just feel like your head is going to pop open. A lot of people said, you know what, I'm just ready to check out. I don't want to stay here anymore. Boom, suicide. I don't have any friends and everybody's together this holiday season and they don't like me, especially for teenagers. Boom, suicide. I'm going to check out. But if you could just wait, 10 minutes, just sit and be still for 10 minutes, it'll pass. But the enemy wants you to get so overwhelmed, so anxious, that all of a sudden you just can't take it. And in that second, go ahead. You might as well just leave. Don't want to check yourself out. You might as well go on. I mean, they don't like you anyway. It's going to be better if you just leave. You'll fix them. They're going to be sorry that they treat you the way they treated you. Now he's just overwhelming you and you're just thinking, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do with that. Get the gun, get a rope. Whatever, boom, you gone, and he's laughing. But the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:6-8, be anxious for nothing. If you can just get that, be anxious for nothing. Because when there's anxiousness, there is no peace. See, that certain things cannot be dual in the same spot. You can't be anxious and in peace at the same time. You can't be in faith and doubt at the same time. You can't be up and down at the same time. Everything has its own time and space, and then you're going to choose. You can't be in love and out of love at the same time. So you have to make a decision. Am I going to listen to God, or am I going to listen to these crazy conversations that's coming in my head from the enemy? And sometimes people say, well, you know, you got to be saved. Yes, that's the best thing for you. It's better with Christ than without him in any given situation. But if you're not saved, he's going to beat you up. And you won't know where to go. At least if you got a relationship with Christ, mothers and daughters, there's something about going into prayer. There's something about taking it to God through Jesus. There's a peace that will come upon you that surpass all understanding. You'll see hell and torment and the winds blowing and the lightning flashing and it's raining, everything around you, the boat's going to turn over. But in the midst of it, you stand in the center of that boat and you're just as peaceful as you can be. You're like in the eye of the storm. But everything else is going on. And you don't understand how it works for yourself. You're just like, wow. All you know is that you went to prayer and Jesus said, peace, be still. You can see it, but you can't feel it. You can hear it, but you can't feel it. Because right there in that moment, I always tell individuals, especially my clients, everybody can be stress-free. And I teach them how to be stress-free. You don't have to be stressed. If you just look in this moment, if you say to yourself right now, this moment, I have all that I need. And you think about it right now in this second. There's nothing that you really need. And there's no stress in this second. But it's when you try to go outside of the time that God has given us, and he's only given us the present, and the present is the present. We count it as second, 1 second after the other, after the other, after the other, but it's still the present. That's where you are. And in that is peace. You choose, like I was saying earlier, we can choose to say all things are moving fast. And in your mind, you'd be like, whoo, like it was Sunday yesterday, and now it's Sunday again. You know, we say these things, but words have power. And the enemy will flash before your mind, get you going and going and going, because he's going to rush your little behind right on up out of here before you can do the will of God. No, we own God's time. His clock. We in his plan. We're not dancing and moving to our own music. We at the hands of God. He said, be still and know that I'm God. And to be still is rest. Just rest. And move according to my will. And in that is nothing but peace. But when you wake up and your first thought is about money, about a bill, you're not in peace. You're not resting in God. When I ask God for something, I'm done with it. I'm not going back. I'm not going to repeat it. But the minute you repeat it, and this is something the Holy Spirit taught me years ago, he said, when you ask me for something and you come back, and the enemy loves to whisper in your ear to remind you, to get you to say it. When you come back and say it again, you just erase what you asked me, because now you done took faith and push it to the side and you replaced it with doubt. And that's why you can't receive. I do nothing for those who doubt me. Only faith moves God. So when you wake up in the morning, you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay a bill, how this is going to come together, the Lord is going to sit back and look at you. Go ahead and figure it out then. Because if you believe me, it's already worked out. All you got to do is be still. Be anxious for nothing. But the devil will get you so anxious, you can't breathe. I remember times I'd wake up, water running down my arm, just trying to figure out, yeah, you know, this coming, you ain't going to have the money to do this. You ain't going to do this. Are they going to do this? Are you do this? And, da, 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 da. And then you just, whoo, and the next thing you know, you're sweating and you're panicking. You're, you know, begging God and telling God what he better do, when he better do it, and you want him done by Tuesday at 2 o'clock. And he's looking at you like, really? Blaspheming. That's what that is. And it brings on stress, anxieties. And he's looking at you, when you submit to my will, when you obey what I say, then my will and my promises will work in your life. But they're not coming into your life with a bunch of crazy anxiety, anxious thoughts, doubt. Doubt and faith can't live in the same place. You can tell yourself anything you want to tell yourself. You can pretend that, oh, no, I don't get anxious. No, I don't worry about nothing. No. Did you go asking for something you already asking for? If you've done it once, then you just, every time you do it, you erase what you went to. And it takes me back to Daniel. Daniel said, he asked the Lord, and I'm thinking of spies in chapter 5. Daniel asked the Lord for something, and the Lord said, I heard you the first time, and I sent the angels to deliver it. What happened? In the middle of the angels delivering to Daniel his request from God, they got held up fighting a war in the midst because the enemy didn't want it to come, tried to intercede. But I looked, when I read that, I was wondering, did Daniel say something? Did Daniel change his mind? Did Daniel wonder, well, God, did you hear me? God, are you going to do it? God, when are you going to do it? And the angels had to stop because what he incited doubt. So the angels, oh, stop on a dime. We got to go back. He changed his mind. He already said maybe it ain't going to happen. I heard you when you asked the first time, Daniel. And Daniel said as he was laying there, he felt something as if someone touched his face. You see, God is a man that cannot lie. He said, you ask and you shall receive if you believe and don't doubt in your heart. Mark 11:23 and 24, just read all of those. Because 22 said, Jesus said, have faith in God. If you got faith in him, You don't have to ask him 2 and 3 times. If your children ask you for something, and they know that when they ask you, if you say yes, you're going to do it, they go on their merry way. And they'll tell every child at school. I asked my mom for a bike, and my mom told me she was going to get me my bike for my birthday. The birthday could be 8 months off. They are not going to worry about it. They're going to tell everybody I'm getting a bike for my birthday because you've been consistent with your word. But if you tell the child yes one time and don't do it, then doubt has set in. And that child is going to say, I asked my mama for a bike. She says she's going to get it, but I'm not sure she's going to get it or not because sometimes she tell me yeah and she don't do it. So, you know, I'm not sure. I'm hoping that she'll do it. And then they'll come back to you 50 times. Mama, you think you're going to be able to get me that bike for Christmas? That's the way we do, God. And then we wonder about depression. We wonder about anxiety. We're choosing those things. You choose to be anxious. And Christian women, mothers and daughters, Christians, period. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then why did you accept him if you're not going to believe him? What's the purpose of accepting Jesus? And I tell people all the time, you're either going to believe him or you're not. You can't play with it. You're going to believe him or you're not going to believe him. Because if you accept and say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for our sins, creating health for us through his stripes on his body. He became poor so we can become rich. I believe that. I believe that he was buried, was raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father. I believe that. I believe through him, through Jesus Christ, I'm righteous before God. I believe that. I believe by his stripes I'm healed. I believe that. I believe that I have an inheritance from Abraham. I am a descendant of Abraham because God said so. I believe that. I believe that no danger and harm should come near my dwelling. I believe that. I believe that I bless you. And I bless your children and your children's children. I believe that. I believe that I have peace beyond all understanding. I believe that. That's all. That's about that. That's your faith. People sometimes say, I don't know if I have enough faith. Faith is believing. Believing the word of God. If you believe that, then you'll act like you believe that, and you won't be anxious about nothing. What's going to happen? If you're a Christian, you believe those things, you trust God, you believe that you're going to heaven, these things on the world mean nothing. I could care less about a bill. I try not to create bills. That's why I don't have them. He tell you to owe no man nothing but to love them. Do you believe that? Try to get out of debt. Stop buying stuff and billing up stuff. And then asking God, why? Just have what you have and have it paid for. Because he tells us, don't get in debt, because you know debt brings on anxiety. Debt brings on stress. People say, well, you know, Dr. Fletcher, you know, we all have bills. Oh, yeah, I know. I've been there, done that. But you have to make a decision. Cut up the credit cards, throw them away. I don't have credit cards because I know I can get in trouble with them. You know, you have to do it. I got it from Gloria and Kenneth Copeland years and years ago. And Kenneth told Gloria, this is what he said. to owe no man nothing. She said she was in the kitchen cooking, and she came out, and he just, Gloria, come here. Look. She read it. She said, well, that's what it says. That's what we're going to do. And they started paying off bills, cutting up credit cards, paying off bills, cutting up credit cards. I started doing the same thing. He said, you don't have a credit card? No. Because all I do is pay them off and then charge them up again. So I'm still in the same debt. I cut them up. Need a car now? I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I need a car. I don't want to go into debt. Don't get me wrong. It's not about having a bill to get to what is the mentality of you and your bills. How are you dealing with it? To owe somebody is a state of mind. To negotiate with somebody is another state of mind. Get that. It's all about how you handle it. If you crying and roaming and going on to God about something, then you in debt. You in a debt, you in a prison debt in your mind. If you contract with somebody and you're not worrying about it, every month I get paid, boom, I pay that, I move on. You don't stress, you're not in debt. Debt is a state of mind. Not a bill paying, it's a state of mind. Feeling like, oh Lord, it's coming up again. Anxiety. Anxiety is the enemy's way of keeping you distracted from what God has assigned you to do. See, it's a trick. And you've got to be, that's, and the other thing is this, and you know, I've always told people when I worked for them, I only had, I think, three jobs. I worked for three different companies, let me say it for that, before I went to work for myself many years ago. And I'd go in and I'd fill out that application and let them know. I don't work for you. I contract myself to you to do this job. And this application, employment application, is my contract agreement to do what you asked me to do. But I don't work for you. That's always been my state of mind. I'm an independent contractor. And that way, I never felt like I was working for someone and that I was bogged down in employment. No. I can leave anytime I want. I'm a free agent. And I go in and I tell them that. And see, you have to see, that is not the indebtedness of work where people go every day hating to go to work. Because in your mind, you're feeling like you're a slave. But if you own your independence, if you know I am independently contract, I'm a free agent. I work for God. If he assigned me to come in here to do this work, to earn the money, to do whatever I need to do, to put money back into the kingdom, I'm an independent contractor. And I always felt free. It's all about your state of mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you think free, you're free. If you think debt, you're in debt. We can all build a prison, and we can decide if you want to be inside or outside. Owe no man nothing but to love him. And when you do that, you're free. You're free. That's why when you do a favor, when somebody says, I'll do that for you, let me do you a favor. I'm very careful about that because these are things that I've learned over the years that didn't work well for me. When people want to do you a favor, you have to be very careful. Because one day they're going to come back and figure, okay, you owe me. Remember 10 years ago when I did this for you? Now I'm asking you to do this and you can't do it for me. You owe me. See, that's a debt. owe no man nothing. Because sometimes we make choices because we feel that we do owe the person. Well, they did. I was about to be put out of my house, and they paid my rent, and me and my children didn't have to get out. Okay, what I need you to do, I need you to drive the car because I'm going to go rob the bank. And so all I need you to do is drive the car. And you know that's crazy. You know that puts you in a bad position. Well, you owe me. I'm about to lose my house now. You owe me. Then you, well, I do owe him. See, you owe him in your mind. That's why God said, owe nobody nothing. So when you come down to make decisions, you don't have to use that as one of the little pawns to put on the scale of justice to decide, should I do this or should I not? And so you go drive the car, get caught. Everybody's in jail. Children have no parents. That might be an extreme example, but you get it. Just because someone was holding that card, that one day you're going to pay me back. Be careful with favors because they'll put you in debt. And when God asks you to go, and God asks you to do something, I can't do it because, see, I owe the pastor. I can't leave the church because they helped me. No, but I want you to go out on a mission field. But, Lord, how am I going to leave the church? They were good to me, Lord. And he's looking at you like, really? Who gave you your breath? Who created you? Who gave you your soul, your spirit? Who gave you life? Really? Who sent their son to save you from hell and a lake of fire? And I'm asking you to go in the mission field, and you can tell me you owe the church? Really? I hope you have a good eternal life there. Don't be in debt, because debt brings out anxiety. And this Christmas holidays, that's why I don't get excited. They laugh at me, my family laugh at me, my daughter, because they get all excited and they're putting up all the decorations. And I'm not trying to be a Scrooge, so don't even go there. But it's just not me. I live Christmas every day. That's my state of mind. Jesus was born every day in my state of mind. But I go over there and I enjoy it, and it's beautiful. I was raised, my mother had, dad had everything on the Christmas, in the yard, on top of the house, in the window, you know, it was just overkill. And that was who they were. It's just not who I am. Doesn't make you wrong now. Don't take it personal. But to me, it takes me to a place where I would be pretending. If I came in here and put stuff in this house and try to do that and it wasn't what I believe in my heart, then I'm a hypocrite. So I have to be true with me. Those things mean nothing to me. And I enjoy Christmas like everybody else. But I don't have the stress of I got to go out and shopping, I got to buy this. I never got into that. I'll go one day and buy what I need. I'm not going to go every weekend looking for something, at night looking for something. It brings on stress. It's not what it's about. And then you wonder, mothers and daughters, why you're fussing and fighting. Because you're trying to buy things that you can't afford. You're trying to impress people. And then in January, when your bills come around, you're stressed out. You don't know how you're going to pay it. You charge it on your credit card. Now the person ain't talking to you. You're bad because you gave them that nice gift. Stress. Buy within your means. and don't charge anything. Whatever you can't pay out of your check, and then that way in January, you don't have that stress. You can meet your debt. I didn't write any of this down. That's strictly Holy Ghost Spirit talking. And it's not about me. I can only share my testimony. I don't know yours. So with my testimony, look into your heart and find out what you can eliminate. And once you eliminate stress, then it puts you into a place to be still, a place that you can hear the word of God. And I guarantee you, all your needs will be met. All your needs will be met. Because that it is written. He said it. He'll take care of all your needs. You're not going to need anything as a child of God. You're not going to need anything. You might want a lot of stuff, and he'll give you that too if you're ready for it. That ain't just giving you stuff and you're not ready, you're not prepared. He'd rather preserve your soul, because your soul is your mind. And if your mind, if he gave you $1 million today, you run on off and forget about him. He already know you'll do it because you're not anchored. And when we're not anchored, God is not going to just pop stuff in your hand. No, because I'm going to lose you. You're not ready for that yet. It's like a baby. You can't give them meat when they're born, they're 2 days old. They're not ready yet. They got to grow into it. But your need, you'll never want for anything. And if you live in that, there's no anxiety. I believe. I believe what Jesus said. I believe every word he said was what you said, God. Every word proceeded out of his mouth was your word speaking through him. I believe that. If you believe that, then there's no stress. My Lord, my Lord. That was the Holy Spirit. Cynthia?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, you said a lot. But the things that I coned in on, about things as it relates to life in general, but definitely around the holidays, it is a state of mind. But we have to also understand, as you said earlier, that we have an enemy, and it is the enemy's job to keep you distracted with things and stuff and thoughts. You can't, there's a saying, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from nesting. And our job simply, when the enemy is bringing in fear and doubt and anxiety, our job simply is to cast down those negative thoughts by replacing it with the word of God. And it is in, because we have the very nature and spirit of God in us, we have the spirit of love, peace, joy, forbearance, which means restraint or tolerance, and kindness and goodness and faithfulness in us, because he created us in his very image. We have those fruits in us. We just have to choose to exercise what he has put in us. When the enemy is tempting us to be anything other than what God created us to be. And so the very nature and the very thing that God created us to be around the time of the birth of Christ, we are nicer. Because we have these very things in us to be nicer. It's just in this time of year, we choose to restrain. We choose to have tolerance for people this time of year. And we can do it all year if we choose to, just like we choose to do it this time of year. But it's that inconsistency that makes it hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have the very nature of God in us. And God does tell us, be anxious for nothing. That word anxious, be careful for nothing. But in everything, we're anxious because we don't take everything to God in prayer and in thanksgiving. Thank you for the bill, because that just let me know I'm living. I'm alive, and I have issues, and they can be struggles if I choose them to be a struggle. But that's a state of mind, as you suggested. We have everything we need, and I have been on a quest this past, I don't know, last 3-4 months. I make my profession and confession every time I'm tempted to be anxious. I go to the text and I read the promises of God, and I'm telling you, the peace of God comes over me like I never thought about those things. It's all about learning to take everything to God in prayer. A couple of Sundays ago, I woke up and I was ready to pack my bags, and I didn't know where I was going. But the relationship issues, and so I went immediately because that came to my mind. Take everything to God in prayer, and so I simply just stopped, went and got on my knees, and I prayed about the situation. And I went in the bathroom to take a shower, and I had the radio on playing music, gospel music. And I don't know how it happened, but it was just stuck on this on YouTube. That never happened. It goes from song to song. But it just kept playing this one song by Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Peace. God said, nothing can happen to you when you got me in your mind. Mm-hmm. You have to take control of your mind when you're tempted to be anxious, because fear plus doubt equals anxiety. And it's all, mm-hmm. It's those two things that causes us to be anxious. God say, fear not, only believe. He knew that we will be tempted to be doubtful, because the enemy's job is to put doubt in our minds. But he also gave us what we need to combat the enemy when he's coming at us. He has given us the word. And if you don't know to get into the word, you will be consumed with the anxiety that the enemy is putting on you. I got it. Like you said earlier, when the Holy Spirit checks me, I'm checked. I got how mm-hmm. to deal with those negative thoughts that the enemy attempts to put on me. They come, but they can't stay, because I take them to God in prayer, and I rebuke him with the word of God. He can't stand. Like you said, you can't stand in the same space. Anxiety and peace can't be in the same space. I choose the peace. I choose to have the peace of God. Yes, I'm tempted, absolutely, but I'm not going to allow it to go there, because I have too much of the word of God in me to succumb to the tricks of the enemy. I have everything I need to overcome. Because Jesus lives in me, I have everything I need to overcome the tricks of the enemy. Mm-hmm. That's one of my professions every day for the last several months. Everything I need to overcome the enemy, I have it in me, because Christ dwells within me. That's my thought. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Mm, yeah, good thought. Yeah, you know, and that's why I went to the one thing that most people don't say, and that is self-control. That's the key right there. Of course, he tells us, you're not blindsided. Jesus tells us, you know, the enemy's coming after you. He came after Jesus. So he put that in there so you can see that example. He came to me. He tried to tempt me, you know, and it's in the prayer. You know, keep us from the evil. Keep us from evil. Because he knows, you know, he's coming to try to tempt us. If he's coming, we're all going to be tempted. We're all going to be challenged. But it's the self-control that's in you to control yourself if you choose. And that is, you got to do what you say. No, I'm not even going to accept that. If the enemy hit my leg with the pain, I'm like, you're a liar. Get up off of my leg. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. And it'll go. You have got to learn to have self-control. If you don't have self-control, then the enemy will control yourself. So that's my take on that, and I'll be right back.
been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay. Thank you, Cynthia. That's our show. Everybody have a good week, and hopefully next week we'll set it up so you and Deborah can have a show, and I'll see you when I see you. God bless you. Have a good weekend.
Blessings. Bye-bye. Bye, audience.
You've
love you.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network.
All right. I'm going to play that again. Bye-bye.